Our scripture lesson this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 and 10 through 12. It can be found on your pew Bible on page 237 if you'd like to follow along. When David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, "I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and whatever you turn. That the Lord may establish his word, which was spoke concerning me, saying, If your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail you a man on the throne of Israel." Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established.
We've spent the summer with King David. Wonderful, rich stories in the life of King David. I think he's one of my favorites because they're very human stories of good and of bad, of great choices and bad choices. But I love the way this passage begins, a very sad time. He says, King David says to his sons, Solomon, who is the son of his wife Bathsheba, he says, "I am about to go the way of all the earth." It's kind of the Ecclesiastes idea of a time to live, and there is a time to die. And then he goes on with this charge to his son about how he wants him to live his life after David's gone. He says, "Be strong, be courageous." Those are wonderful words, words that we want our children to remember, to do, to be strong. But I think it's especially important today, and probably all through the centuries, but I think of it today, to be courageous. I think often today we live in fear. Fear runs us. Sometimes it's legitimate fear. We may get hurt by someone, and so we need to be aware of that. But I think other times it's fear of what somebody might get. Somebody might get some of my stuff, or somebody might get a little more than what I've got. Kind of this overriding fear, and I'll let you think about how that works out in life. But then David goes on and he says, "Be strong, be courageous, and keep the charge of the Lord your God. Walk in God's ways. Keep God's commandments." All of those things that we know make for good life. And we want our children to do those things, to walk according to God, in God's graces and according to God's commands. But then it goes on and it says, as we go on, that it is good for the kingdom, for David's family, continuity of it, but also for the kingdom. And I think that today too, as we teach our children, as we leave them good legacies of good behavior and strong beliefs, that it's good for our homes as it continues on with grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but it's also good for the kingdom of Fairmont. It's the good for the kingdom of the U.S., and the kingdom of the entire world, if we walk in the ways of God. That's good advice, tried and true advice. But then we go on, and it says, "Do all of this that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." David said that the Lord established the word, said, if your heirs take heed to your way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all heart and with all soul, there shall never fail to be a successor on the throne of Israel. Is that so? If we do what is right and we walk in God's ways, then everything will always be good. We'll always prosper. Our kids will always do what's right. Is that a formula to make money, to get ahead? Well, in the Bible, there are several theologies as we go through. And there are several interpretations of the theologies. And this is a very early, early theology. It was the belief that God would bless you if you did what was right, and God would curse you if you did what was wrong. Well, there's another theology that we find in 2 Samuel, which is kind of going back a little bit, but it's God talking to Saul, and he says, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I'll be his father, and he will be my son. But, which is, if you behave, then God will bless you. But then God says, when he commits iniquity or sin, I will punish him with a rod such as mortals use, with blows inflicted by human beings. That's consequences. If he does what's good, then he will be blessed, life will go well, but when he does wrong, then he will suffer the consequences for his behavior. And so that's another theology that life doesn't always go wonderfully, that we do suffer consequences for our behavior and maybe for other behavior. But then as we move on, there's a little bit more of an interpretation of these two theologies when we get into the book of Job. And in that book, Job does what's good. Job does walk in the ways of God, but yet all of that happens to Job. And so that theology simply says, no matter what happens in life, God is with you. God is with you. Unconditional love, the unconditional love of God, no matter what the consequences, no matter what our choices are, we have the unconditional love of God. So I would like to revise, if I can, revise the Bible. And I would say in verse 4, if your heirs take heed to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, not that they will succeed in things that come always, but that God will love them unconditionally. What a great wish to bestow upon our children. Great advice to Solomon, love and obey God. That's the advice that he passed on, passing the baton on to the next generation, things that we want to do in our lives also. But I find it very interesting. You know, I preach from the lectionary, which is a list of verses each Sunday that many pastors pick from. So if you go out to lunch with the Methodists, you may hear, they may have heard a sermon from the same passage. And so it's my habit to preach from there. Keeps me honest. It keeps me from not going to my pet verses. And it makes me have to preach some of the verses that are not so fun, that are hard for me to preach. But so I use the lectionary. But the lectionary this time had this, the first four verses of chapter 2. And then it skips on to where Solomon talks to God, and God said, what do you want? And Solomon said, I want wisdom. It's a story about how Solomon gains his wisdom. He was a very wise king. It skips the end of the charge that David gives to his son. and it's very disturbing. So I'm going to go off the lectionary this morning. We're going to go on with verse 5. It says, and now this is after David said to Solomon, be good, walk in the commandments of God, and things will go well. Then he says, moreover, you know also what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me, how he dealt with the two commanders of the armies of Israel, Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether, whom he murdered, retaliating in time of peace for blood that had been shed in war, and putting the blood of war on the belt around his waist. Now, we don't know what that means, but scholars tell us that that means that he put a curse on the ruler, on David. So he was in war, he was one of the commanders, but yet he was turning on David. So David says to his son, act therefore according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to Sheol in peace. In other words, kill him. Deal loyally, however, with the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For with such loyalty they met me when I fled from your brother Absalom. There is also with you Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjamite, from Bahurim, who cursed me with a terrible curse on the day when I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord that I would not put him to death by the sword. Therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. You will know what you ought to do to him. You must bring his gray head down with blood to Sheol. In other words, David is giving his son his hit list. Reminds me of the Godfather and the Mafia. He's saying, kill this guy because he insulted me. Keep this guy because he was fairly good. You know, he did good things, but get rid of this guy because he didn't do what I wanted him to do. Kill him. Well, we can't justify the Mafia, Godfather kind of a hit list that we know about today. It's hard to judge in that day. It was a very bloody, very violent time. Maybe those were people that Solomon did need to annihilate for that kingdom to go forward. But I think about the weight of anger in David's life. Here he is at the very end, giving his son his hit list for those that were his political opponents. We can look at this and say, oh, what a horrible thing for him to do. But aren't there ways that we annihilate one another today? And kind of pass that on. We see it a lot in politics today, where one runs another one down, and very painful, horrible words. We can annihilate with our words, and we can blame the political leaders, but there are ways in which we do that too. Oh, Aunt so-and-so is always running down so-and-so, and our children hear this as we speak about others, and that legacy it kind of goes on down in our families. Well, Brueggemann, one of my favorite professors, wonderful Old Testament professor, said, David may be frail, you know, he's dying. He says, David may be frail, but he has forgotten little, forgiven nothing. The old man dies having shared his cunning, bloody wisdom. Well, it's easier to skip those verses like the lectionary does. You know, we want our book to be, our Bible to be so holy and so good and so full of uplifting things that sometimes we want to just forget the real stuff. But it's in the tough stuff that we learn. It's in the tough stuff that we have to look at our own lives and make our lives better. David's dilemma was the same that we all face. Faithfulness to God, or using our power for our own gain, We all have power roles in life. Although we don't want to think about it, I think about my favorite musical, Sound of Music, which to me is so uplifting and wonderful. The music means a lot to me, and when I sing them, I'm happy and uplifted. But there are so many deep, hard power struggles in that musical. You have the Reverend Mother who has her way, and then you have wonderful Maria who cannot stay within the box. And so there's that power struggle between those two. And then the children, the Count's children who had that power struggle with their former governess before Maria comes into their life. And then we have the power struggle between the children and their father. The father who wants them to line up like the Navy does, and the children who want to be like Maria and be out in the streets with their play clothes on. And then you have the very serious Nazi party and Captain Von Trapp. And so we have this beautiful, wonderful, happy story with a great ending that we know about, but yet those power struggles all the way within it. And our lives are the same. The power struggles between us and what we are doing, what we're thinking. Most interactions have some sort of hierarchy. And then we take those and we worry about them. Have I overstepped my bounds? Have I gotten in someone else's way? Am I acting in a way that I ought not to act? Is my opinion going to be heard? Do I dare tell my opinion? And all of that we lay awake with, and it is turning over in our stomachs. Those negotiations in life, which can be terrible, David's hit list, or they can be good if we use them in good ways. Well, David passed on the baton to Solomon. The kingdom was going to be established with God's blessings. I think that it is in that time, it probably did take some violence as well as God's blessings, both together. Life kind of is that way, I'm afraid. So what we teach our children has lasting effects. We know that. Respect, love, kindness, walking in God's ways. Our children often do those things. Thankfully, they do see the good and the bad, but thankfully, often they see the good, and they walk in that good, and they learn from our lives how to be better. Solomon saw a lot in David's life. We talked about it all summer long. David was a great king. He's very important in our Bible, very important for the life of Judaism and on into Christianity. But he made bad choices, many bad choices, those things that we can learn from. So what do our children see? Do they see us honoring God, caring for one another, spiritual within our lives? Is that the legacy that we give them as we move on? I think that for me, the most disturbing part in here is that David's last words to his son were words of death. Words of death rather than words of life. And even though we're not going to go out and annihilate our opponents, I know none of you will do that, there are ways in which we cause death. And so I pray that our last words are not those words of annihilation, but words of life. But then too, we think about that with our children in our homes, but there are other kingdoms that we build. We build this kingdom in this church. What are the ways that we might be annihilating rather than building up? Who is it that's going to carry on the work in this place? And what are the words that we need to do to encourage it, to ensure that when we're gone, those that are coming up can build the kingdom and keep this place going? What are the same words that we use in the kingdom of Fairmont, the place where we work and we play, we're together with one another? Are our words of building up in life, or are words of death? And then we can go on with that. What are the words we use in our country and then in our world? Are we living fearful? Are we living for God? Are we wanting death because we're afraid of what might happen? Or do we want life with God? Let's bow for just a moment of meditation. God of our lives, replace our words of death with words of life, we pray. Amen.